Well, let's now open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I thought I'd be farther in 1 Peter by now, but God keeps slowing me down. And as I study, bringing about new and wondrous things from His Word. And so as I thought, perhaps I'd be well into chapter 3 by now, we're still in chapter 2, but that's okay. It's all right. There's much to learn in God's Word. And what we'll be looking at tonight is really just the first few words of chapter 17. In fact, in the Greek, there are only two words, honor all. The people there is in italics. It's not in the Greek, but the idea is implied there, honor all. We'll read for context, beginning in verse 11, we'll read through verse 17. But again, we'll be focusing on the idea that God calls us to honor all people. So let us hear God speak to us, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. As far as God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, teach us from your word how you would have us to live, how you would have us, those who are your chosen people, those who have been called out of darkness and into your marvelous light, to live lives of thanksgiving, to honor you by honoring those who are created in your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Honor all. Honor all people. All humanity. We have to ask the question, who are we? Who are we as people? Who are we as humans? There's a study of anthropology, the study of man. Now, the modern view of most secular anthropology begins its study of man by really denying that man is who man is. Man is something less than what God reveals him to be. According to modern thinking, humanity is simply something that evolved from animals. Time and chance are all that separates us from the lower animal kingdom. This is not the case. We often refer to, and I do, we refer to ourselves as human beings. I was reading a book recently, and the author brought up a good point. At first, it struck me, and then I said, this is very insightful. He said, I've stopped referring to myself as a human being. Now, you might think, wait a second. If you're not referring to yourself as a human being, what are you referring to yourself as? Well, he says, I've stopped referring to myself as a human being, and I've started referring to myself as a human creature. A human being has the idea, and it's not wrong to use that language, it's common, but he says that the idea of a human being is something that it just exists or is being, has always existed. But the idea of a human creature is, it brings in the truth that we are, as humans, created. And not only created by God, but created in the image of God. And so we are human creatures, created in the image of God. And this is important. What we think about ourselves, what we think about our origins, what we think about our creation and our fellow image bearers matters. It matters to God, as we'll see tonight, but it matters. Our understanding of who we are as human creatures has far-reaching consequences. Some examples. When there is a downplaying of who others are as those created in the image of God, violence results. World War II. What happened in World War II? A wrong view of humanity led to the Holocaust. Lower than true human. The American Civil War, slavery, a wrong view of humanity led to the enslavement of Africans. And the Civil War, sadly, a practice that was championed by some, even in the Southern Church, using a very poor interpretation of Scripture. And in our day, a wrong view of humanity has led to the sanction of abortion, the destruction of life in the womb, as we read earlier in Psalm 139, that is fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. It matters. What we think about who we are as human creatures matters, not simply for us in the church, but for society as a whole. And as our idea of who we are goes in a wrong direction, so how we treat others goes in a wrong direction. And so we need to be reminded of this. Not just we who are Christians, but all men need to be reminded. And since we as Christians have the truth of God's word, we know we weren't there when we were created, but we know the one who was there, God, from the beginning. He tells us what happens, and we trust him. So that's what we're going to look at today as we think about why we are to honor all people. Recall in this section in 1 Peter, Peter is building off that idea in verse 12 that we are to have our conduct honorable among the Gentiles, honorable among all men, as those outside, they're watching, they're looking. And it may be that when they see our conduct, our good works, they will glorify God. It may be that they come to salvation. But we are not to live as those who use our freedom. We do have a freedom. Yes, we are to submit to the ordinances of man, as long as they do not contradict the word of God. And yes, we are free from the condemnation of the law. We are free from the traditions of man. But we are not free to do whatever we want. What does Peter say? He says we are bond servants of God. We have been freed from one master to serve another. You have to serve someone. We've been freed to serve God. And he commands us then to serve him in a certain way, to show our thankfulness to him for the great redemption that he has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ by living in a certain way. And one of those commands that he gives us is found here in verse 17. How are we as those free not to use our liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, we are to honor all. Honor all. He begins with this universal statement, honor all. He's going to go on to talk about different relationships in verse 17. We are to honor all. We are to love the brotherhood. He's dealing with our relationship to one another as those who are in Christ. Our relationship to God, fear God. Our relationship to the highest authorities, honor the king. We see here, really, the commandments, at least the summary of the commandments lined out for us. We are to love our neighbor as ourself and love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we're going to look tonight at loving our neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Well, who has a need? Who is my neighbor? There's no limit here. Honor all people. And as we look at this, as we think about God's command to us to honor all, I want you to see that we are called to honor all people simply because they are created in the image of God. We are to honor all people simply because they are created in the image of God. And God has demonstrated that his image bearers are worthy of honor. We'll see that. We're going to see that God has demonstrated this in creation, in providence, and in redemption. And we're going to see also that God now has commanded us to show that same honor to his image bearers. Well, God has demonstrated that his image bearers are worthy of honor. He's done this in creation. Remember the words from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. created them from the dust of the earth. He created mankind, humanity, to have a spiritual nature, a soul. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, created with minds that think and that reason. Isaiah 1:18, God says, come now, let us reason together. And he goes on to proclaim the gospel. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be washed as white as snow. This is a reasonable thing. Now, yes, men suppress the truth in unrighteousness, but mankind is created as a rational and a spiritual creature, but also as an immortal creature. It's not just Christians that are immortal. Everyone is immortal. The difference is simply where you will spend that eternity. Everyone is immortal. Every human creature is immortal. And as an immortal creature, as an image bearer of God, as an heir, we might put it, of immortality, we see there's a potential in each of us. A potential of glory and honor, of growth in holiness and happiness. There's the potential to know, love, praise, serve, and enjoy God. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what we were created to do. That's the high calling that God places upon His image bearers. He's demonstrated then that His image bearers are worthy of honor in creation, but also in His providence. God gives gifts to all people. God gives gifts to all people, even when they're not used for His glory. There are many who have gifts from God who do not use them for His glory. James tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. John the Baptist in John 3:27 says that man has nothing but what has come down from heaven. He gives gifts to men. We'll look at what those gifts are like, even to unbelievers, even to those who are ultimately outside of Christ. Not only does He give gifts to men, but in His providence, He makes His sun to rise on both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust, doesn't He? And so you start to understand that God in creation created man in His image, breathed life into them. Everyone has a spiritual soul, a rational mind, and a mortal nature. Has been given gifts by God, receives His benevolent aid in the rain and the sun, the food that He provides. God has demonstrated that His image bearers are worthy of honor in creation, in providence, but also in redemption. God revealed His will is to save image bearers. Think about it. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is God's revealed will? We learn of it in 1 Timothy 2:4. God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And so He instructs His church, Mark 16:15, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every rational creature. Go and preach. And so the revealed will of God shows that His image bearers are worthy of honor. But Jesus Himself honored humanity in two ways. He took to Himself human nature in the incarnation. That itself shows the honor that is given to those created in the image of God. He came and took to Himself a true human nature. Scripture tells us that He did not do this for angels. It's interesting, isn't it? The angels sinned first. They fell. But God did not decide to take to Himself an angelic nature to somehow pay for them. He cast them into perdition. But Jesus did not do this. Hebrews 2, 16 through 17, we read, "Indeed, he," that is Jesus, "does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham." And how does he give that aid? "In all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people." That is, to take the wrath of God upon himself, to pay for sins. He took to himself a true human nature. He did not do this for angels. But secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ honored humanity by taking that human nature into heaven in the ascension. Think about this. He took that human nature into heaven, and as one commentator put it, there is a human sitting on the throne of the universe. Wow. You see, the honor that God gives to those who he has created in his image. And if God treats those who he has created in his image, even those who rebel against him, he gives honor to them. How much more should we honor them? And that's the point here. Honor all people. God not only then shows and demonstrates in creation and in providence and in redemption that those created in his image are worthy of honor, but he commands us as his people to honor them as well. So we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, that first part, those first two words, honor all. Honor all. God requires us to treat his image bearers as worthy of honor. We must treat his image bearers as worthy of honor regardless of religious position. You know, sadly, we don't do a very good job at this. I'm not saying that we should condone other religions. I'm not saying that we should accept them as true. But I think that as Christians, we can sometimes elevate ourselves as if we chose God and look down our nose at people and think that they are less than human because, at least at this point in their life, they're not acknowledging the truth. But that's not what the word says. It doesn't say honor all only if they're believers. He'll go on to talk about how we should relate to those who are of the brotherhood, love the brotherhood. But here he begins, honor all. Unbelievers do many things as image bearers that we can honor. I was thinking as I prepared this of the descendants of Cain. Now, if anybody might be relegated to the unbelieving status or the outside of God's plan status, it would be the descendants of Cain. Remember what happened to Cain? He killed his brother. God sent him further out to the east, to the land of Nod. He set up a city. And yet, listen to what came of his line. Lamech, one of his descendants, had a son, Jubal, and he was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. These were talented musicians. Another one bore Tubal-Cain, who became an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. It's the line of Cain. Great musicians, great craftsmen. And we ought to recognize that, even in those who are not Christians. Unbelievers can display great courage in times of war. Unbelievers can display great intellect, extensive knowledge about many things. Remarkable wisdom. Not the wisdom of heaven, but the wisdom of things on the earth. When I go to my financial advisor, I don't really, I may get involved in talking about spiritual things, but I don't go and say, "Hey, I need to know your spiritual qualifications before you handle my finances." Now, that may be a good thing, but what I'm really interested in is, are you good at your job? Has God gifted you to do this thing, whether you recognize it or not? And so there are many who God has gifted. There are many remarkable people. Unbelievers are great artists, musicians, leaders, and teachers. They can even be some of the most caring and benevolent people. Let's not downplay what God has gifted them with. And when we treat them in this way, we don't come at them as if they are something less than what they are, as those created in the image of God, we will have a much better chance of winning them for the cause of Christ. They will see how we treat them with honor and respect as a fellow image bearer who possesses reason, a conscience, true feelings, coming and developing, as it were, a relationship with them so that we can speak into their life. No matter of religious position, no matter of their life situation, we must treat our fellow image bearers as worthy of honor. Now, I'm not saying that we honor the wicked for their wickedness. Certainly not. We must speak the truth in love. But remember that even those who have made very poor decisions in life, and which of us haven't, they remain image bearers of God. And we must treat them as such. Think about this. Think about all of the things that we have done and continue to do, the foolish choices that we make. But God, who knows our hearts, the one who knows that our hearts by nature are deceitful above all things, he does not strip us of our status as image bearers of God. He doesn't. We must treat his image bearers as worthy of honor, regardless of their religious position, regardless of their life situation, regardless of their social position. In fact, Proverbs, in two places, speaks of the treatment of those who are poor in this way. Proverbs 17:5, he who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. And Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. James brings this out in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. It says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. And in dishonoring the poor man, if we go back to Proverbs, you mock his maker. You mock his maker. And so how do we think about this? Well, how do we apply this to those who are in need? How do we apply this command that we find here in 1 Peter chapter 2, honor all to those who are poor? Well, we must care for them. Care for them as we are able. When we do not care for the needy, we do not honor them as image bearers. Those who are created in the image of God, and we mock them, we reproach their maker. I already talked earlier about the wickedness of slavery. When we take away the freedoms of others who are created in the image of God, we do not honor those created in the image of God. Commentator on this, an older commentator, John Brown, I'll quote this. It's an excellent quote with regard to slavery. He's got another one with regard to violence against man. Listen to him. Had man had reverence for man, slavery with all its horrors could never have existed. Every feeling like honoring our common nature must be extinct before man can make property of his brother, can treat him as if he were not a person at all, but a thing, a portion of his good and chattels. Notice what he says. He says, In order for slavery to happen, with all of its horrors, every feeling, like honoring our common nature, must be extinct. Extinct. Gone. It's contrary to honoring all. What about violence toward others? When we take the life of others, we certainly do not honor those created in God's image. God puts a high price on life. Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. Brown, again, speaking to violence against man, particularly the taking of life, says this: to extinguish human life by the hand of violence must be quite a different thing in the eyes of a skeptic, that is, someone who's not a Christian, from what it is in those of a Christian. With the skeptic, it is merely the diverting the course of a little red fluid called blood. It is merely lessening by one the number of many million of fugitive, contemptible creatures. The Christian sees in the same event an accountable being being cut off from the state of probation and hurried, perhaps unprepared, into the presence of his judge to hear that final, that irrevocable sentence which is to fix him forever in an unalterable condition of woe. Now think about that. You think about the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. But if you thought about it in this way, he says that for the Christian, when we think about the death of a fellow image bearer, we must think that this is not simply the spilling of a fluid called blood. This is not simply the diverting the course of that little red liquid. This is not simply lessening by one person from the millions of contemptible creatures that have existed. But this is rushing, as it were, an individual to face the judge of all the earth. Perhaps unprepared. Perhaps unprepared. Consequences. And so we ought to be very careful in how we treat life and how we think about who we are as those created in the image of God. Not only ourselves, not only ourselves as Christians, but all. Because all are created in the image of God. That's what we read here. Honor all. Honor all. Because failure to understand this truth, failure to honor others as image bearers of God, will lead to horrific events. We know the sin of our own heart. We know that when humanity can start to think of others as less than human, it becomes much easier. Much easier to destroy life. When you think of another individual as simply a sack of blood, of fluid, of organs, of all of these things put together, but not as an image bearer of God, it becomes much easier to do away with them. And we see that already in our society. We saw it in World War II with the Holocaust. We saw it in the slavery of early America, but we see it in our day with the destruction of life. Whether it's individuals going into schools and taking lives. Horrific. I don't know what the individuals that do that were taught. Did they know that those that they were going in and taking their lives away were image bearers of God? Had they known that? Had they really understood that, would they have done it? The importance of this has ramifications upon the next generation, upon our children. We must raise up our children to take life seriously, to understand that life is a gift from God, that all men, women, children, all are created in the image of God. And therefore, we must protect life in every way. God teaches us this. All are worthy of honor. He has created them. He provides for them. And he has made a way to redeem them. And so we see that every person, from the moment of conception, must be viewed as he or she truly is, a rational, responsible, immortal, and valuable human creature. This is why God commands us to do everything in our power to honor our fellow image bearers. And encourage others to do the same. Because when we honor those created in God's image, we honor the one in whose image they are created. As one commentator says, when we dishonor them, no matter who they are, we dishonor God, the prototype. Think about that. We're created in his image, after his likeness. But even more so, we dishonor Triune God. We dishonor God the Father who gave gifts to men. We dishonor God the Son, who took to himself a true human nature in redemption. We dishonor God the Holy Spirit, who breathes life into his creatures. Therefore, let us honor all. Honor those created in the image of God. Let us remember that we are also created in the image of God, and they are our fellow image bearers. We may be different in many ways, but we do have this common reality that we are created in God's image. Let us treat them with the respect they deserve, no matter who they are, no matter what's going on in their life, no matter their religious persuasion, current life situation, or social position. But let us seek their good. Let us seek their earthly good, absolutely. We ought to do that. But more importantly, and most importantly, let us seek their spiritual good. Let us seek their spiritual good by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, this is a way in which we can do that. When we understand that they are created in the image of God, that they have been given by God an immortal soul, we ought to be concerned about where that soul is headed. We ought not to want to see their life end, to see them go and stand before God unprepared to meet him. But we ought to do everything in our power so that they would remain alive with the hope that they would hear and respond to the gospel. So that when their life does end and they stand before God, they will stand with us in joy and not in woe. That's the calling, isn't it? And that's what man was originally created for. Think about this. God created mankind, men and women, in his image, not for hell. Not to be away from him, but to dwell with him. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Remember, Jesus Christ did not take to himself an angelic nature. Instead, God created hell. But what did God do for us who sinned? God didn't create another hell for us. He created and brought forth a plan of redemption in Christ. And so as we think about those who are created in God's image, who possess immortal souls, we have to understand that they were not originally created for hell, but heaven, but by sin have been sentenced to hell. And that ought to give us great pause. People die every day. We see that on the news. But do we stop and think about the individual soul that was either sent to heaven or hell with that death? It's a stark reality, isn't it? Let us pray then. Pray for all those who bear the image of God, that by God's mercy and grace, they may be granted repentance unto life before they take their final breath. And let us, as those who are called to honor all, do our utmost to minister to them, to speak to them the truth of God's word, to understand that they, like us, are created in the image of God. They are dear, as it were, to God in creation. And so they ought to be then dear to us as created image bearers. No matter who they are, no matter where they are in life, we ought to speak truth and life to them. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for the work of creation, that you have created us a little lower than the angels. But God is the pinnacle, as it were, of your creation. That you have created us in your very image, in your likeness. And that although sin has caused us to fall short of your glory, it has not removed your image from us. Help us as we go forth in this week and in our lives to look upon others, everyone who we interact with, no matter who they are, no matter where they are in life, no matter what situation they have gotten themselves into, even if they have brought themselves into a very dark place because of sin, help us to look through that and see them as those who bear your image. And help us then to honor them where honor is due, to recognize the gifts that you have given, and to call them to use what you have given them, to use the fact that they are an image bearer of God, that they do possess an immortal soul, to use that to their good, to seek, to know, honor, and glorify you all of the days of their life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.